Hello and welcome to Scholars Speak, a podcast from the Mitchell Institute, in which we catch up with Mitchell scholars far and wide to hear their stories. Thank you for joining me, your host, Michelle Martin, the 1999 Mitchell Scholar from Scarborough High School, for today's episode of Scholars Speak. And now let's get to it. Welcome to this episode of Scholars Speak. This is a bit of a unique episode. In this episode, I am actually welcoming as a guest the Director of Brand and Communications for the Mitchell Institute, and that is Mark Glass. So welcome, Mark. Happy to have you here.
I'm delighted to be here, Michelle. Thank you very, very much. I think this is probably the point at which we get to explain why this is a unique episode. I've never been on the podcast, but that's not really the reason that this is a unique episode. It's primarily because we're going to switch roles for this episode. You have done a marvelous job over the past 20 episodes with facilitating really marvelous conversations with alumni, Mitchell Scholar alumni. And is it fair to say that you'll be stepping back as host and I'll be stepping forward as host? Would you say that's right?
That is fair, yes. And for those listening, just so you know, the origins of the podcast, Mark and I sat down together, I guess now that was about a year and a half ago or so, in the courtyard at the Mitchell Institute office, and really just dreamt up what this might look like. And this is really the natural evolution of that. Our hope was always to think about how it might evolve in the future, what kind of content we might want to capture on that. And so I'm just thrilled, Mark, that you will take on the storytelling from here.
I'll do my best to fill these shoes. And in fairness, I want to push back a little bit on your recollection of how this came about. because as you know, as I recall, and I'm pretty certain of this, this was your vision, this podcast. And it was a marvelous vision. And the challenge for me, as excited as I was to be part of this project, is I had never edited podcasts before. I had never participated in podcasts. And I have to admit, I was not a podcast consumer. So I really didn't bring to the project any mature understanding of best practices or, you know, how it should be done. And I really learned a great deal from listening to, from watching you work, but from listening to you work, listening to the way that you facilitated these conversations with alumni and really brought forward their stories and their love of the Institute, their love of the programming and their pride in being Mitchell scholars. That, you know, we got started with this project, I think, a matter of weeks into my job here. So I really have learned a lot about Mitchell scholars and the organization through these conversations that you've had with alumni. So I want to thank you for that. Does that square with your recollection?
It does. Yeah, it does. And it's been my pleasure, honestly. It was just to give a little more on, you know, what the inspiration was behind this is I've always felt like I've had such a close proximity to the Mitchell Institute and have been connected for 25 years now since I was named a scholar in 1999. And having that proximity through various ways that I've been involved with the organization, whether that be the board or the Senator's Circle, and back when we actually began the Alumni Council for the first time, I feel like I've had the privilege of being really close to some of these stories. And only having recorded 20 of them, I can tell you we're just scratching the surface. There are over 3,500 Mitchell Scholars and alumni now, and every one of those stories is unique and interesting and just really demonstrates, I'd say, the product, for lack of a better word, of what all of this financial assistance as well as programming really does in terms of setting people up for success.
You are a natural host because of those 25 years, but you have also, you know, this is not the first way in which you have been deeply involved with the organization. You've been a member of the board of directors. You are now a member of the Senator's Circle. You were in on the ground floor in founding the Mitchell Institute Alumni Council, sometimes known as MIAC. Can you tell us a little bit about why you have chosen to make the Mitchell Institute a priority, you know, both in terms of your time and your desire to help it, to strengthen it, to see it grow.
Yeah, I mean, I think it honestly starts with how I learned about it in the first place. My dad walked into the offices after seeing the announcement about the scholarship in the Portland Press Herald print version, and walked into the Monument Square office at the time and met the staff personally and brought home an application for me. And from there, I feel like the relationship started right away with the staff. So not only was it a scholarship, but it was just this group of people now that were part of my community. And it was such an honor to be named a Mitchell Scholar, but also really helpful in terms of financial assistance to go to the University of Maine at Orono. And what I didn't expect to happen was what would unfold after that. And I can say honestly that in almost every point in my professional and even my personal life at major turns and milestones, the Mitchell Institute has played a role. And whether that was, you know, getting an internship during college, I was placed in a few different internships via the Mitchell Institute, and even spent time at the Mitchell Institute as an intern working on the first gala that was ever held. And, you know, now to be kind of sitting at those galas and reflecting back, it's so incredible. And so I've always felt over the years that I can never give back enough to show the appreciation that I have, because they've been there at every turn when I needed advice. You know, where should I go to graduate school? And can you be a reference for me when I do that? And hey, I'm thinking about making a career pivot. Well, you know, would love to sort of talk that through with somebody. And that extended beyond just the staff. That's really the community around the organization that has been other Mitchell Scholars and alumni, that's been board members. And so again, I just feel like often Senator Mitchell will say next to his family, the thing he's most proud of is the Mitchell Institute and what he's done here. And I feel the same way. Honestly, it's probably the most important thread in my life beyond my own family.
Well, that's just beautiful. And I think this is an appropriate time to thank you for your service, but not in any way to suggest that this is a period on that it will continue. You said it's, or hinted that it's a lifelong relationship. So we look forward to having you continue to strengthen us and guide us.
It's very much selfish in that way, Mark. It's, you know, I want to stay involved, and it's been wonderful to have more formal opportunities to do that with things like the board and the senator circle. But to be able to create something like this with you and with the support of everybody was just such a different way to stay engaged. So I'm excited about what the future might hold there too.
I'm wondering if, you know, you can look back on the 25 years, if there are maybe one, two, three things that stand out for you as sort of critical incidents. You referenced working at the Mitchell Institute on the very first gala, that you had some support in getting internships through connections that you had with the organization. I don't know if it's more to say about those things or other things, but I'd be really interested in hearing about how, you know, the standout ways the organization has made an impact on your life.
Yeah, there are so many, but the ones that just pop to my mind first are probably when I was in college or just out of college, I attended the gala. And so for those who may be listening that aren't familiar, at each of the tables at a gala, there are at least, I think, one or two Mitchell Scholars that are seated with that table. And what that allows for is just such great interaction between supporters of the organization and the Mitchell Scholar to really get that relationship going from the start and have a great understanding on both sides, really. And I was at a gala, so I must have been around 22 years old, and sat with a table from TD Bank, who's been a longtime sponsor of the organization, supporter. And, you know, had a wonderful interaction and subsequently, you know, received some business cards from folks that I had met at the table, and then met and had an informational interview with one of them later. And it was just such a great conversation. It really just was very informal, just kind of helping guide my early career days. And about 2 years later, having had that informational interview, I just got a call out of nowhere, it felt like, from somebody at TD Bank that was hiring for a position. And it was my first job at TD Bank, would become my first job at TD Bank. And he said, I don't know where your resume came from, but it came to me. And I said, oh, I know where it came from. And just remembered back to that night, really. And it was a couple of years later. And that would become, I would say, the first real marketing role that I played. And it just absolutely turned me on to this field that I'm in now. And so it was such a great memory and started my career really nicely. And then in terms of other things, I would say as a board member, one of the most important tasks I think that we all take on is reading scholarship applications. So board members are a part of that process for each year as students are selected. And I think that was one of the most meaningful things that I have ever done attached to the organization because it really gives you a sense for what is happening around the state of Maine. You're really hearing a lot about all kinds of issues and things that are happening in our state that you may not have exposure to. And I remember I always wanted to select one from each corner. So you were reading in multiple schools, and I wanted somebody from Northern Maine, down east, Western Maine, and Southern Maine to really get that feel for the diversity of experiences that students were having. And blown away by the stories and the essays and the achievements of these students. And, of course, I was part of that at one time. I don't recall being anywhere near as impressive as what I read, from these scholars. And so I'd say that's another memory for me that is, it's a wonderful part of being on the board there and makes it for a very hard decision, I will say, when it comes down to it. But those are a couple that really stand out for me.
Well, both resonate with me. I'm delighted that you spoke to, what resulted from your attendance at Gala, because one of the things that we try to emphasize with scholars as, we recruit them to come and do just as you explained, to be seated at the tables with all of our supporters, to give our supporters an opportunity to see the results of their investment and how their support of the Mitchell Institute makes a difference on an individual level. And broadly for the state of Maine, because in essence, what they're doing is strengthening the future workforce of the state and strengthening communities statewide. So I'm glad that that played out the way it did for you. And, just to echo what you said about the scholarship reading, the staff likewise all participates in the review of applications. And it is, I would agree, just humbling to see the skills and the aspirations, and in some cases, the challenges that scholars bring to the organization through their applications. So we've got, our scholarship application period is open now through April 1, and we'll be in the throes of reviewing those applications in April this year. It'll be my second rodeo with it, and I'm really looking forward to it.
That's so great. Yeah. And another piece that was coming to mind while you're saying that is, beyond the help in terms of career, there was all this support starting from that gala experience around just how to sort of be in a professional environment. And there aren't any college courses that teach you that I'm aware of. And, it was everything from how to interact at the dinner table to, what questions to think about asking somebody that you might want to get to know and how to really naturally build relationships, not just network in that very traditional sense. And beyond that, there's an event called Mile Two that you're very familiar with. And that became a personal and professional development day that really the Alumni Council started in collaboration with the staff. And that day has been really meaningful to me, and I've attended it often because there's a lot there that isn't just the standard things that you would experience. It's how to deal with finances and how to think about, again, like those networking conversations and how to look at a career path and things that you just, if you don't spend the time doing it and focusing on it, you might not. And so the organization has been so great in supporting people in those types of things that are very much outside of just, we always say more than a scholarship, and that's exactly what it is.
I'm glad that it has been that way for you. You mentioned Mile Two. This is probably a great opportunity to give a shameless plug for that event, which is coming up on Saturday, March 2nd this year. It'll be held once again at Unum And for the scholars who are listening, and especially the younger alumni, this is your invitation to take part in an annual and wonderful opportunity to gain the skills that you spoke to and to make those connections. If we could, I'd like to shift to talk about your career. You referenced that Gala played a surprising and a delightful role in getting your career launched with TD Bank. I know you've also worked in marketing for many years with a number of the top employers. You've worked with L.L. Bean, and now you're with Ticketmaster. Can you take us through the broad strokes of your progression in this field and you know, what you've done along the way and what you're doing now?
Absolutely. Yeah, I always thought about, I had an early mentor at TD Bank who is so fantastic. And he talked about the notion of a lattice versus ladder career approach. And really, TD's philosophy was very much that. And I think I couldn't have landed in a better place to really kind of grow up professionally. I spent 10 years there and really thought about how to do that. So yes, I absolutely loved that first job that I had because it was sports marketing. It was when the TD Garden naming rights came on scene, and suddenly TD had all of this marketing to do around that building, the teams. And I enjoyed that job so much, and it taught me so much about how to be a marketer, how to build a brand, and spent around 6 years doing that and ended up, you know, becoming the team that did that for both the US and Canada over time. And so we were working on jazz festivals and music properties across Canada and all the sports marketing that we had here in the US and other things. And I think that's where I just said, like, you can absolutely love the job that you have, even if it is work, right? Like, so it was proof at a young age that you could do that. And then after that, I think that mentorship and that advice really was, okay, now go out and broaden your business perspective a bit and really understand how does the bank, you know, make it, how do we make money? How do we, you know, sort of structure operations? What is it like to work, you know, in retail? And so for a few years, I bounced around to different parts of the company, which was great because you have that holistic view. And I think as a marketer, you understand that that's really necessary because the decisions you make in marketing ultimately impact many areas of the company. You know, if you do something without acknowledging the customer service impact or operational considerations, the success is not there. So it has to be very connected. And I loved that. I was so glad I got pushed to do that. And I spent time in a call center as a part of that at TD Bank, and I never would have seen myself in an environment like that, but it was such an incredible learning journey and pushed me outside of anything I ever felt comfortable doing. And then there was another role after that that felt very similar. But that kind of sparked my the way into L.L. Bean. So I knew at 10 years, I was just ready to try something new, and I got into L.L. Bean through the customer satisfaction area. So knew I really was most passionate about marketing, but I had had this experience and it was a great opportunity. And so spent a few years there, and I can't think of a better place to work in customer satisfaction. I mean, it's just absolutely well known for world-class service, and it was such a pleasure to work on that business. And after a few years, was just lucky enough to make my way back to marketing there. And that was really via the leader that I had in customer satisfaction and a mentor that I had there as well, who just were very supportive and believed in me. And I was so grateful for that. And so ended up back in marketing, which was great. And spent a few more years there at L.L. Bean doing that. And along the way at TD Bank and then later at L.L. Bean, I went back to school. So I got an MBA when I was at TD Bank. It just became really clear to me quickly that that would be a great supplement to the journalism degree that I had. And then as I was drifting outside of marketing a bit, I realized marketing changes so fast that if I'm not staying relevant, I'm not going to know what's going on when I rejoin it at some point. And so I went back and got a master's in integrated marketing as well. So from there, I went to a startup, which was a very intentional decision. I had never had startup experience. I had never had tech experience in the really traditional tech sense. And I went to a startup called Mercari, which is a competitor of eBay, an online marketplace, and phenomenal experience. You can, I would say, really build at a startup. There's a lot of a clean slate there. So had such a great learning opportunity there. And then the opportunity to really follow the things I'm most personally passionate about, which are music, sports, entertainment, live events, came up with Ticketmaster. And I've now been here around 8 months and have just enjoyed the journey so much. So my team here is brand and integrated marketing, and we're really focused on connecting fans with the live events that they love. And I get to do that every day, and it's wonderful.
You know, I'm wondering if you can speak to, and I'm asking this question, I suspect, on behalf of a lot of current scholars and perhaps young alumni who are trying to just figure it out and, you know, figure out what they want to do. But in addition to that, I suspect there's another element at work in their thinking. How am I ever going to be good enough to do X?
I would say, how do you get good enough? I would say almost the reverse. So knowing that you'll never be good enough, but being willing to do it is how I've felt. It's sort of like, well, I may as well try it. And if it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. And I can't say that that was how I approached it all along. After I made the first couple of moves, I would say, from, as a journalism major, my very first job was at a small newspaper. I had been on the student newspaper, so it felt like a very safe, okay, I know how to do that. And then even moving into TD Bank and marketing, I felt comfortable in marketing. And so that was what my mentor felt was a challenge. He was like, you're too comfortable. Like, this is not where you're going to find the growth. And pushing me, in a sense, out to the call center environment. And then later I would join what was called retail sales strategy, which was very much around building incentive programs for the bank staff, essentially, and thinking about product profitability and reporting, and a lot of things that I had never done before. I think both of those jobs, I felt like I can't do this. And then once you start to prove yourself to yourself, it just gets easier. And I think I always look at it as the other side of that is you will be comfortable and never know if you don't try. And so just being willing to kind of take on something that you don't expect might be the thing for you. That's how the paths unfold. There really is, in my view, it's never linear. And you're not just going up and up and up in one vertical place most of the time. So yeah, I can't say that it's always a journey, right? Like, you're always a little nervous, and I think that's very healthy. So getting into a job where you're like, don't know what I'm doing, and also just know that nobody does knows what they're doing. I always say that. I'm like, nobody is that confident. And so you're observing that, but just know that everyone feels very much the same.
I really enjoyed what you said, that you start to prove it to yourself first.
Yeah, I mean, you can get all the advice you can get, right? And everybody will have advice for you and a thought on what you should do. I would say the thing that has become the strongest for me is instinct, and thinking about what is that gut instinct when I hear about an opportunity or something that could stretch me, and how does that feel? And if that feeling is a little bit nervous, it's usually the right decision to make. And that was not, again, not the way that I probably took steps before. I felt like I was pretty safe up until I started to make some of those moves. And so really trusting yourself. And it's like I often get reminded by people in my life that, what is your track record of not making it work? And then you look and go, well, I've always figured it out in some way, maybe not the best, and absolutely had failures and mistakes, and but ultimately you get through that. And so remember that your track record is essentially 100%. You've always been able to get through it.
You're at the point now in your career with Ticketmaster where you are the one who is building teams. I'm wondering, given that experience that you have right now, and I suspect you've built teams elsewhere as your career has progressed, I'm wondering if you'd have any advice for current scholars and young alumni in particular about what they can bring to the table as young professionals or developing professionals in terms of, if not skills, an attitude, you know, their approach to work, the way they think about work, the way they think about their commitment to their teams. You know, what if any advice comes to mind that you might give that they might benefit from?
Yeah, I think that the attitude is really the key because, especially in marketing, but I think this applies really to everything now. Things change so much. So job descriptions today change virtually overnight. Technology is advancing so fast. The things that we are tasked to do change. And so I always look to hopefully be one of these people, but also look for them, which is who is that person that can just envision a solution to a problem that might not be in their job description. And, I think that's really the way that you build a career is not just kind of following what you think you should be doing, but really taking a look out and saying, who's having a challenge or what is the challenge in this business right now? And from the seat that I have, how can I impact that? So just worrying a little bit less about that structure or the role that you step into and kind of picking your head up and looking at the business overall, I think really helps you to get noticed by others that you're seeing the big picture, versus just kind of that honing in on what you think you are supposed to be doing in that job.
And what role have mentors or good leaders played in your development?
I can't say enough about mentorship. It's a topic I'm very passionate about and will always be. I think mentorship, the definition of that is different depending on kind of who you ask. And so in a lot of ways, it's typically been people further in their careers than I am and or have had different experiences and have kind of given me some guidance based on what they have already been through. In other ways, I've learned that it's very much at a peer level too, or even folks that are coming behind you, right? I mean, there's so much to be taken from everybody. But I would say that the reason I'm so passionate about it is because of the mentors that I've had. So that initial mentor, Matt Chevalier at TD Bank, that many people that listen to this that know TD Bank know him because he did that for many more people than just myself. And really, subsequent mentors who I wish I could list them all here because they mean so much to me. And I think that they know exactly who they are. But those are the people that have been able to help me reflect back to myself on what it is that I'm looking for. And I'm really kind of poke and question that, not to give me the advice or answer, but to try to get at what it is that I'm really trying to solve for. So I've been really lucky in that regard in all of the companies that I've worked in. I've had incredible mentors. And more recently went through a more formal, I would say, mentorship program during COVID, with Adweek. They had an executive mentorship program that essentially matched you with a chief marketing officer as an up-and-coming marketing leader. And I had the benefit of having three different chief marketing officers, one from Macy's, one from Deloitte, and one from Airbnb, and then subsequently GoFundMe, who really just provided me with so much great advice around career building and became these go-to people, in my network that I never had before. And during COVID, especially, that just opened up this, it felt like a global network of new people to meet. And it was about the mentors, but it was just as much about the mentees. There were about now, having done it for a few years, there are probably 300 mentees that have gone through the program. And all of us are very close friends and, have this network amongst ourselves. And so I think mentorship for me has been the game changer. It's pushed me beyond what I thought was possible for myself, because you often need those people to kind of do that reflection back for you. And then I think sponsorship is another important thing. Mentorship is really about the guidance. Sponsorship is, to me, those people, whether it's within a company or even outside of a company, that are willing to advocate for you and go to bat for you for opportunities, or, they're talking about you in the rooms that you're not in, kind of thing. And I think that's also equally important.
It would seem to me that, in order to take full advantage of the goodwill and the knowledge and the experience of someone who's willing to be a mentor is to be open-minded and to be ready to receive the feedback. Would you say that that's an important thing to bring to the table?
Absolutely. And I would say, I think a lot of times people feel like they don't know how to find a mentor or how to go about that process. And I think it's much less formal than people imagine. And generally, people want to be asked because almost everyone, right, has had somebody help them and they really want to be asked. And I think just getting over any sort of fear about asking somebody. And it doesn't need to be, will you be my mentor, right? It could just be, I've observed you, I've admired you, and I would love to learn from you if you're open to that. And that approach, for me at least, has led to these incredible relationships that just kind of unfolded naturally. So everybody's had it, so everybody's willing to give it back.
I thought we might get into a little bit about what advice do you have for me as I seek out people to interview and consider questions to put to them?
It's a great question. And I was saying to you before we started that I was nervous to come on as a guest. And I've been the one saying to the guest, don't worry about it. It's super informal and it's really easy. But I realized that trying to think about your own story is really challenging. And so I guess my best advice has been, we have always had some thoughts around questions to ask people. What ends up happening is those stories very much naturally unfold. And your own personal curiosity about what that person is sharing is a better story to tell than anything you can prepare for. So that's what I have found. It's been so much fun. Some of these guests have been friends of mine, which is really fun to kind of dig in with them a little bit more on our history. And, having been around 25 years, there's a lot of folks now that I've, really become close with. And I love hearing their stories played back. And it's been quite a journey.
Well, Michelle, thank you for that advice. I will certainly take it to heart and to mind as I pick up the mantle, as I said, and serve as host of the podcast that you really launched, and which has been a wonderful gift for the Mitchell Institute and the Mitchell Scholar community. So thank you so much for that. It's been a delight to work with you. My primary goal is to live up to the standards that you have set for this podcast and try to keep up the excellence that you brought to this whole thing.
I can't thank you enough, Mark. You've been a phenomenal partner in this. You talked about not knowing how to podcast. I did not know either. And I feel like we just sort of jumped in it and we've been very scrappy about it. And somehow it has worked. And I've learned so much. And I also would just say, the Mitchell Institute is so fortunate to have you in the role that you're in now, because the content that is coming out of the organization and the updates about scholars and all of the things that are happening have just never been better. And so it's great to see that. I'm glad that this can just be one small part of that.
Thank you. These are marvelous stories to tell, as you know. The scholars and the alumni are deeply impressive, and it's just great fun to bring their stories to the community. Well, Michelle, I think it's now my role as the host to close us out. So thank you very much for joining us, and this certainly won't be the last that we hear from you. And if you ever feel like climbing back into the host's chair, you are more than welcome to do that. So let's stay in touch about that.
Thank you so much. And you can count on me to be listening for sure. I will be your number one fan.
Thanks again and take care.
Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of Scholar Speak. To learn more about the Mitchell Institute, just point your browser to mitchellinstitute.org or follow along on social media on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram.